Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
In John 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans. My guest today is comedian, actor, author, pastor, and adoptive dad of three special needs children, Dan Culp. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here with us today. Let's start at the very beginning of your story, because it actually begins before you and your wife Elizabeth adopted. It goes back to 1971, when your brother was born with Down syndrome, and then your parents made an incredible decision. Tell us about that.
Yeah, he was their sixth child, and I was number five. We were only a year apart. And when he was born with Down syndrome, a lot of people told my parents to put him away in an institution. That was sort of the mindset back in the early 70s in this country. And they didn't feel that was right. There was something about that didn't seem right to them. And they made the decision to keep Matthew as part of our family. And he ended up being such a blessing to the family as, he was with us for a few years, that they ended up adopting three more children with Down syndrome.
Wow.
And two at one time that were not biological brother and sister, but had grown up in foster care together. And then a couple years after that, they adopted a third. And I was amidst their age, so that was my upbringing. That's kind of the world that I knew.
Wow. So what was that like growing up alongside of siblings who have Down syndrome?
You know, I didn't, again, because that's the world that I grew up in, I didn't know a lot different. I mean, I knew there was something very special there. I knew that our family looked and seemed different, but I was used to it. And at the same time, it had a lot of the joys and the challenges that a typical family would have. I would get frustrated with my brothers and sisters, just like any other family where the siblings, you know, at times wouldn't get along or would argue or you know, that sort of thing. And then they would, of course, be very, very close. And so in a lot of ways, it was very typical for me. And again, I didn't, that's just how I grew up. It was kind of a normal thing.
Wow. So what do you feel like you learned from those childhood experiences?
Well, it's almost countless what I've learned. I think I've learned a lot of characteristics of Christ through my brothers and sisters with Down syndrome. And what I mean by that is they just seem to exemplify some characteristics that, naturally speaking, that for some of us maybe is a little more difficult. And I think of the areas of forgiveness. You know, when you get into a spat with a sibling with Down syndrome, it's often quickly forgotten. And so I learned a lot about forgiveness and unconditional love. And I learned so much more even from being a father to children with special needs as well.
So that brings us to you are an adoptive dad. So what led you and your wife Elizabeth to pursue adoption yourselves?
Well, it starts with my wife. When I used to tour the country in a rock band, and we were dating. And when I was on tour, she went off to China at one point. She actually got, we were sort of an on again, off again relationship, and she got so frustrated with me at one point, she flew all the way to China. And she's a physical therapist, and she just started to examine, you know, different paths for her life and wanted to do something for something greater than a paycheck. And so she ended up in rural China, working in orphanages with children with special needs. And orphanages over there, I mean, with children with special needs, that's a place where they kind of hide them and tuck them away. At the time, they were a very prideful nation, and they didn't want the rest of the world to know that they had what they considered to be imperfect children. And so that's where she found herself. And then she experienced a horrible thing when she was invited into a place called the Dying Rooms. Mm-hmm. And they're not a very pleasant place, but they're a place that when children are found abandoned, babies, and they're abandoned everywhere, train stations, bus terminals, you know, malls, that kind of thing. If there's no opening in the local orphanage, whether public or private, they get put into, they don't call it the dying room, they call it the observation room. Mm. And it's a place where there's rows and rows of makeshift cribs out of boxes and crates. And inside each one, she saw anywhere from 1 to 3 babies and 2 workers for the whole room. And they didn't pick up the babies. They didn't love on them. They didn't sing to them or play with them. But at mealtime, they would prop a bottle up in the crate. And on three, if the child was too weak or malnourished or deformed to feed themselves, they would often starve to death. And on 3 occasions, she saw babies put into garbage bags and then just hauled out like they were trash. And she flew home after the experience. She was there for a few months. She came home and she told me her story, and it cracked my heart wide open. It just completely changed my life, because prior to that, I didn't care what happened to kids on the other side of the world. And together, you know, we started dating again, and she told me that her for any man she was going to marry, they had to be willing to adopt a child from that place. She had to get one out if she could. And so that was what led us to that.
So tell us about your first adoption experience.
It was incredible. Very miraculous story. We actually started the process with an adoption agency, just put down for any random child, and we checked the box that said we were willing to take a child with special needs. However, at that time, special needs were things very mild, like cleft palates and birthmarks. They would consider those special needs. Again, they tried to hide a lot of the more challenging needs or the more severe special needs, and they didn't put them up for adoption. And so we started with this agency, and then after a while into the process, we found out about this little boy in China with Down syndrome who had been abandoned in the woods in the middle of winter on the very day he was born. And how I found out about it was, it was through Shohanna's Hope, which is Stephen Curtis Chapman and Mary Beth. Now it's called Show Hope. It's through their organization. And I was on their email list, and it came up onto the, you know, their newsletter that they were looking for a family for this boy. And I told my wife about it, and at first she laughed at me. She thought, oh, yeah, we're going to just change midstream, you know, here with the agency, and we paid all these non-refundable fees. And the more we prayed about it, though, the more it was clear that we should try to adopt him. And so anyway, we got accepted. We got matched with him. And really wonderful, when we told the adoption agency we had started with, they refunded to us all of our non-refundable fees, because they said this is so incredible that a child with Down syndrome was being allowed out of the country, and they supported that. So that was really a beautiful thing.
Wow. So this, you're talking about your son, Simon, correct?
That's right.
All right. Yes. So tell us a little bit about bringing Simon home.
So we went to China. It's a 2-week process. It was interesting because when we, and here's the mentality of the country at the time, is when we got out of the airport and onto the bus that was leading our entire group, because with China, you go with the whole adoption group. When we were on the bus, my wife and I were kind of sitting near the back. We're headed to the hotel. I'd never been to that country before, and I'm soaking it all in. And just a few minutes onto the ride, our Chinese contact, walked to the back of the bus, and she leaned over the seat and she said, "Now we want you to know that we've made every arrangement for you for if you want to go back." And we said, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "Well, you know, your child had," we thought this was funny. She said, "You know, your child has a little Down syndrome, don't you?" And we said, "Yeah, we know that." And she said, "Well, he's going to be very challenging, and he's not going to learn like the other, you know, children." And she kept going on and on. And my wife finally cut her off and said, "Look, if he has 3 arms and he's purple, we still want him."
Wow.
And that was just sort of a different mindset. They thought that we were going to that we were going in kind of unaware, and then we would meet him and just not want him and fly right back home. Mm. And they kind of set that up for us.
Wow.
So by the second day, we actually had him in our arms. Mm. By day two, we went to the orphanage, and it was about an hour and a half outside of Beijing. And we met Simon for the first time.
Wow. Incredible. And how old was Simon then?
He was about to turn three.
And how has he adjusted? I mean, obviously, you know, you were not put off, right? He didn't have, you know, three arms and was purple, but he
right.
did have Down syndrome, does, and he's a precious part of your family.
Yeah, it was actually beautiful. I mean, the adjustment was perfect. It was like the moment he was placed into our arms, he was ours and we were his, and he had no problems adjusting to a whole new world. In fact, he took to it very well. I think he was very, very happy to have a family.
Aww.
and a home. So that was perfect. The next adoption that I'm sure you'll probably get to and asking me about, it was much more of an adjustment. But we made it to the other side of that.
Wow. So yes, we are going to get to that, but I want to just remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, or orphan ministry, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and joining me today is Dan Culp. He's a comedian, actor, author, pastor, and adoptive dad of three kiddos adopted internationally with special needs. And they are Simon, who's now 11, adopted from China. And next we're going to hear about Danielle, who's now 14. She's also from China. Shay is 10 from Ukraine. And you snuck a birth child in there as well, Dan.
That's right. Yeah.
Emily, who is now 5. And Dan has written a book called Confounding the Wise, a celebration of life, love, laughter, adoption, and the joy of children with special needs. How can our listeners get a copy of your book, Dan?
They can get a copy in one of three ways. So they can go to Amazon.com, and they can look it up there and order it from that. They can go to my website, which is culponline.com, and I'll sign those copies when I send them out. That's KULPonline.com. And, of course, they can come to one of my shows where I perform or I speak, and I'll have them available there.
That's right. And you are based in the Rochester, New York area. And I had the privilege of actually hearing Dan speak. He was the guest speaker, the keynote at the Alight Crisis Pregnancy Resource Center based in Hudson, New York, for their annual fundraising banquet. And you just your story and your message and your comedy just all tied together. Wonderful. So anybody looking for a guest speaker, Dan is your man, as we would say.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that plug.
So, and I have your book. I haven't finished reading it yet, but I love it. It's amazing. And I already know there's a family here locally that's in the process of adopting three children through Reese's Rainbow, all from China, all with Down syndrome. So I'm going to give them, I'm passing my book along to them as soon as I am finished with it, because I know that they will be blessed by that book.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. So, Dan, you have four siblings with Down syndrome, three of which were adopted. So Downs and special needs was not a scary thing to you. After you brought Simon home from China, Danielle, I believe, came home from China as well. Tell us about bringing Danielle home.
About a year later, my wife was on the internet and noticed this girl, Danielle, and it seemed to indicate that she was the third child that would have been allowed out of the country with Down syndrome. And there was a second child, Simon, we were told, is the first, and the second child had a family who had spoken for him. And then there was Danielle. And so she said, I think we're supposed to be her parents, and we flew back over. You know, we got through the process rather quickly for some reason. It was accelerated. And we got back over to China. We adopted Danielle from a whole different province in China. She had been abandoned at a hotel when she was 3 or 4 years old. And that's probably when her cognitive differences began to emerge. And it just, again, it kind of shows you the mindset that that's when they began to emerge. And so the parents decided she was different and they didn't want her. So they drove her to a local hotel and they just dropped her off. I mean, I couldn't even imagine that. But it's to our blessing because we got matched with her, and and brought her home. And she was a lot more challenging, and I think the reason is because our theory is that she had a lot of behaviors that I think they were sort of keeping under wraps through medication, heavy medications. And when we adopted her, we didn't know any of this. And so after 2 or 3 days, it appeared that maybe she was going through withdrawals, and she was having some quite emotional outbursts and issues like that, and then bringing her home, she didn't sleep very well and that kind of thing. And mm-hmm. It was really challenging for a few months, but then it settled down, and now, you know, she's just, it's just as wonderful as our experience with Simon. Aww. She's a beautiful, integral part of our family. A few months after getting her home, though, we got called into the doctor's office and were told that she does not actually have Down syndrome. And we were stunned, but she has something much more rare called Elfie syndrome, and Elfie syndrome is where part of her 9th chromosome is missing.
Hmm.
And the technical name for it is 9p minus.
Wow. And is it much different than Down syndrome? Like, what are the? I'd never heard of it.
Yeah. It's so rare. At the time there was only 125 reported cases in the U.S. and 250 in the world. Those numbers have gone up a little bit because I think with medical science, they're able to diagnose it more clearly. And there may even be more that are just undiagnosed, but it is different. One of the things we noticed in Down syndrome, in China, is that unlike Down syndrome, she had very long, slender fingers. And my wife took notice. She's like, oh, she has like a, you know, fingers of a concert pianist or something, you know. And that's not typical for Down syndrome. So we remember saying that. But with Elfie syndrome, and it's still pretty rare, they're still collecting data, but they tend to have issues with their skull where it's fused pretty early, and they have to sometimes go in and perform surgery to split the skull apart a little bit to provide space for the brain. They have issues with ovaries and kidneys. And, of course, there are behavioral issues that are quite different than Down mm-hmm. syndrome. Again, it's almost at times like there's bipolar issues. With Danielle, it's very, very mild. But and the only thing that's really similar to Down syndrome is that there's cognitive delays.
Wow.
But we realized sort of the sovereignty of God, because if they had known that she had something more complex and much more rare than Down syndrome, they probably would have not let her out of the country.
Mm.
So it was pretty amazing that God worked it out for her to get out.
Yeah, incredible. So after bringing Danielle home, you brought home Shay, who's adopted from Ukraine, which is a country near and dear to my heart because 4 of my kiddos are from Ukraine. What led you to kind of switch gears from China to then adopt a child from Ukraine?
It was my wife. She was on that old internet again, and she stumbled upon that. We actually already knew of Reese's Rainbow, but she was looking at Reese's Rainbow and kind of stumbled upon Shay. There was this picture there. For your listeners who aren't familiar, Reese's Rainbow is a terrific website that was set up by a woman in honor of her son with Down syndrome. It specializes in children with Down syndrome from around the world, but it's not exclusively children with Down syndrome. So there was this boy, Shay, and he did not have Down syndrome, and he was what they call cognitively typical, but he had spina bifida.
Mm.
And my wife started to sort of look into it, and one of the beautiful things about Reese's Rainbow is that for every child on the website, they have an account set up where people from around the world can donate money to that account to help whatever family steps up to adopt that child. And one of the little carrots that my wife dangled in front of me was, hey, 2/3 of this boy's costs are already covered.
Wow.
And you know, eventually, again, I said yes. So we flew to Ukraine. This is 2 years later, and we adopted Shay.
Oh, incredible. And I've had the privilege on this radio show to interview Andrea Roberts of Reese's Rainbow, and that is just an incredible ministry.
Yeah, she's a terrific lady, and she has impacted the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing that one person can do what she has done.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing, and you know, God just used uses that ministry. Like I said, there's a local family here in the Capital Region in New York that is adopting three kiddos through Reese's Rainbow. So we just can't say enough good things about that ministry. So now then, after Shay came home, your wife Elizabeth became pregnant with Emily. Was that a huge surprise?
Yeah, it was actually 2 days after we committed to adopting Shay. So we said, okay, we'll adopt him. We kind of officially filed the paperwork, and then 2 days later found out she was pregnant. So that was, it was a surprise. It was a yes and no surprise in the sense that when people find out that my first three children are adopted, they automatically think that we, you know, thought that there was something wrong, you know, with us, or we couldn't get pregnant or something like that. We had no inclination of that. We purposely wanted our first children to be adopted.
Mm.
We felt like so many people look at adoption as a plan B, and we wanted to kind of send a message that, no, adoption can be a plan A if you want it to. Yeah. You can actually intentionally go into marriage deciding to adopt a child. And so we hadn't been really trying, and we hadn't been not trying, but yeah, it was really surprising timing, I guess would be the word for it.
Wow. So what is life like at home with all these wonderful kids?
Chaos. It's absolutely chaos. It's chaos, and it's wonderful, and it's challenging, and all of that stuff. And, you know, I think when people look at my family through the eyes of, say, Facebook, they think it's just all wonderful and perfect and happy and smiles, but that's all the stuff we post. They don't see all of the, you know, the challenging times and the hard times and the exhausting times, but all of those things are completely worth it because my children really are a huge blessing to us. And I think my wife and I make a great team, and especially her being a physical therapist too, she is so on top of all their medical needs, and it's great. I never would have dreamed that one, that I'd get to follow in my parents' footsteps, but two, that I would get the overwhelming feeling that I get from my children. And what I mean is, the lesson that I learned from being a parent to children with special needs is just how incredible a parent's love can be. I never knew that I had the capacity to love like that. And I realized through them that must be how God loves us. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I love my children so much. God's love for us is, you know, that's just a fraction of his love for us.
Yeah.
So I've learned just, I think, how God looks at us, you know, despite our imperfection, in spite our needs, in spite of our disobedience, there's nothing that can make him love us any more, and there's nothing that can make him love us any less than he does right now.
Amen to that. So, Dan, as we wrap up here, what is on your heart that you'd like our listeners to take away from our conversation today?
I would really love for people to be inspired to make that next step of adoption. I think that, yes, there's challenges to it. Yes, it's not easy, but God will be with you because it's part of his plan. I mean, I believe that he means for the church especially to take care of orphans in their distress. And that's whether it's domestic or whether it's from around the world. People oftentimes will ask, well, why did you choose to adopt children from on the other side of the globe? And we were just called to those particular children. And also, you know, if we move aside in this country to allow, you know, instead of doing a domestic adoption, if you choose to adopt from overseas, you're making room for a couple here that can adopt domestically because there's huge waiting lists.
Yeah.
And I also tell people, hey, God is that big. He can do both. He can spread his love around the world. He's made a plan for orphans, and that plan could include somebody in your listening audience. The first objection is usually always money. Oh, I just don't have the money. It's just so expensive. But I tell people, say yes to adoption, and you will be amazed at how the money just kind of starts to show up. Because, again, God is with you.
That's right.
We go to Reese's Rainbow. They're a great resource. Go to showhope.org. another wonderful resource for parents who want to adopt. They'll help provide funds for you. But, you know, your church will help provide funds for you, I'm sure. So God will help provide the resource. As my wife told me, she said, when I was struggling with the second child, the third child, Shay, when I was struggling with that, she said she thought we were supposed to adopt him. I said, honey, how can we do that? We don't have the time or the money. How can we possibly do that? And she said, Dan, that's true, but all I know is God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
That's right.
And I was blown away by that because I knew she was right. So,
yeah. I believe that adoption is always God's plan A.
Yeah.
So, and you're right. Showhope.org, Reese's Rainbow.org, great websites to check out, waiting children with special needs. Also, if you're thinking you just really want to adopt in the United States, there are a waiting list here of children with special needs waiting for forever families. So you could check out adoptuskids.org. And you can even single it down to New York State. There are many, many children right within New York State who are waiting for their forever family. They've already been released for adoption, and they are, you can look at pictures and read bios, and many of them have special needs as well. Thank you for being with us today, Dan.
Thank you, Sandra. It was a pleasure. I'm so happy for all that you're doing, And your family sounds wonderful as well. So thanks for sharing that with the world.
Oh, thank you. And again, to contact Dan about speaking at your event or to order his book, Confounding the Wise, you can visit his website, Culp Online, and that's Culp with a K, KULPonline.com. If you enjoyed the show today and would like to listen to more episodes of Orphans No More, you can go to our website, justicefororphansny.org, and click on Radio Show. All of our past shows are right there, easy to find. And you can also help us continue our radio ministry by giving a tax-deductible gift to Justice for Orphans, also right from our website. And again, this is Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans, and I'm setting my 2017 speaking schedule. If you would like to have me speak at your church or event, just contact me by email at sandraflackjfo@gmail.com or at our website, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.